We see that as modernity comes online, we have what psychologists call a shallow temporal discounting. We are less dominated by our impulses. And again, this is not something we have to work at. This is delivered to us as modern people. We have greater self-control, delayed gratification, empathy, perspective taking, and basically a theory of mind that allows us to, and actually becomes interesting, to start getting into another person's head. There's a decline in impulsiveness, in honor. This honor code is very, very dangerous, very, very violent. Sexual license, incivility. So this just comes online, and we see it coming online throughout the world as countries become more and more modern, not only in the exteriors, but in the interiors. And then we move into green, postmodern, pluralistic approach to crime and punishment. And this is where a lot of us live. A lot of us integralists, as I often say, are at least waist deep in green. And green is beautiful. Sometimes as integralists, we get a little bored of it and tired of it. But let's look at the great achievement of green when it comes particularly to crime and punishment. First of all, green is by far the most safe place to live on the planet. The greenest places on the planet, and I'm talking Scandinavia and Western Europe, are also the safest places on the planet. They have a combined homicide rate currently of 1 per 100,000 people. Remember, in magenta, it was 13%. In red warrior culture, it's 2.7%. And now it's 1 in 100,000. And I think most of them are accounted for in the books, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I think I could count them on my one hand there. But nevertheless, what Green sees is that people become criminal, people commit criminal acts, not because so much of the upper left quadrant. And here we're going to use a little quadrant theory. If you understand it, great. If you don't, no worries. I'll still make it clear. The upper left is just our own individual consciousness. And for the conservatives, they would blame criminal behavior on a lack of character. Green doesn't buy that. Conservatives would also say that the problem in criminal behavior is a laziness or an inability to right action, and that's a right-hand quadrant, upper right-hand quadrant explanation. For Green, the explanations land in the lower left, that is, the interior of the collective. People commit criminal actions because they've been left behind, because of certain cultural discrimination, because of racism. And then they would also include the lower right, because the system itself, the exterior of the collective, is rife with economic and, again, racial discrimination, a lack of opportunity. So at Green, we want to see how we, as the people in power, the system in power, have marginalized and victimized people who have been left behind. And this is one of the great lessons that the United States is learning right now from the Trayvon Martin killing. It's only the most closed-minded people in the culture that have not allowed this situation to challenge their own ideas of how they see and perhaps subtly discriminate, sometimes not so subtly discriminate, against young black men. And this is through no fault of theirs, of the young black man like Trayvon Martin who was walking through his neighborhood. So that is the insight of Green. And Green sees alarming trends, and I actually share in these, alarming trends coming out of orange modernity in terms of crime and punishment, and just this increase in incarceration. Until the 70s, about 100 people per 100,000 Americans were imprisoned. Today, it's 700 per 100,000. America has nearly 5% of the world's population and 25% of its prisoners. And African Americans are 13% of the nation's population, but 37% of the prison population. One in three African-American men spends time incarcerated. That's a stunning statistic, and one that really, I think, weighs heavily on the green and integral heart. And then we see this privatization of prisons, where we have private companies owning and operating prisons, and then lobbying for longer mandatory sentences so that they can keep their coffers full. And this is very abhorrent, I think. I mean, it's something that really makes me sick. It's just as a sort of a moral intuition that comes out of green and is carried into integral. Another insight into green, because that green has about criminal behavior, is, again, because it's not because of a lack of character or a certain lack of ability, that it needs to be treated. So we move into the paradigm of treatment rather than punishment. And we're seeing a lot more of this. We're seeing a lot of this green insight is, you know, you don't have to have a majority of the leading edge of culture to have it start making a very, very significant change in the culture. And we even see in states like Louisiana and Texas, Bobby Jindal and the Texas, Rick Perry, that there's a movement led by both of these guys for more treatment rather than punishment. This is encouraging. We see a change in thinking about mandatory sentencing. I see this as changing very, very quickly. A lot of people are talking about it in the elites, in the intelligentsia. We have to reconcile. There's something that's just, you know, basic fairness that is in, it comes online when we realize that I, Jeff Salzman, living in Boulder, Colorado, can walk down the street three blocks to my local very nice dispensary, marijuana dispensary, and I can buy any one of, you know, 40 kinds of marijuana. And I can buy it in pre-rolled joints, I can buy it loose, I can buy it as candy, I can buy it as an aerosol, I can buy it as pot-infused sugar for my tea. And then, in other states, there are people languishing in prison for 20 and 30-year sentences for doing the same thing.